This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, there's a new study out showing New York now 49th for business tax climate. And it is also the subject of an early morning spotlight segment. No question about it. Troubling news as far as the numbers. Reclaim New York is all over it, as always. Of course, Reclaim New York. They're looking out for you. Remember that. And their initiative, reminding politicians they work for you right now. Just go to ReclaimNYNow.org. Doug Kellogg. Great to have him back. Douglas, troubling numbers here. Good morning, sir.
Great to be back with you, Jay. And, more troubling numbers on New York's tax environment. We're still 49th. Not the type of chant you would like to hear celebrating a fourth year in a row accomplishment. But New York, 49th, again, next to rock bottom in business tax climate. And this is a comprehensive ranking done by the Tax Foundation. And still, for the second year in a row, New Jersey is the only state worse than us. So our friends and neighbors next door, the only reason New York is not rock bottom, dead last, for business tax climate. But that really doesn't matter. I mean, we may as well be last when you're at 49th. We're not competitive with any other state except New Jersey. That's not where you want to be when you want to be reviving your state's economy.
No question. I remember a couple of years ago, you had a lot of analysts, Doug, praising New York's legislature, I remember, and the governor's administration was, kind of a starting a phase out of a very unique corporate tax base on a company's stock value. But then they say the state remains hampered by the high business taxes that many suffer from. So whatever good you have accomplished, this kind of wipes it out.
Yeah, Jay, and that's a really interesting point. When the governor first took office, he went and pursued tax reform. And Tax Foundation was actually the main organization that was there with him to improve the corporate tax rate. But what was the result of that? There was a reduction in the corporate tax rate, and now you can see that reflected in the rankings where it's seventh overall. However, there's a lot more that goes into the cocktail of taxes that we all pay, including businesses, especially when you have a lot of small business owners who file taxes as an individual. That corporate tax rate may not matter to them that much. That's a long way of saying all the other rankings, aside from corporate taxes, are where New York is really, really hammering all taxpayers.
Yeah.
Property taxes are high. That affects everybody, and Long Islanders know that is a major issue with two of the highest property tax counties in the entire nation. That's going to hurt businesses, too. So even if they get a slightly better corporate tax rate, they're still getting hammered by that. The income tax burden. Look, on taxes for individuals, we're still the highest combined tax burden in the entire country. So when you're facing that highest combined state and local tax burden, the corporate tax rate helps, but it shows you there are a lot of other taxes that you get hit with from Albany all the way on down that make New York State uncompetitive and are hurting us in terms of retaining jobs and retaining taxpayers. And what's really, really alarming recently, I think, is that we've seen Suffolk have a slight dip in population.
Yeah.
And also Dutchess and Putnam County. May not matter that much to a Long Island off the top of their head, but I think they start to get the point. New York City may be doing okay, and the commuters who get to go into New York may be doing okay, but we're starting to see that once you're outside that city, all across the state, everyone is struggling, and that is what's really alarming, especially when you see this ranking come through again at 49th. It shows you Albany is not doing enough to fix this problem. They're basically just ignoring it.
No question about it. Doug Kellogg, from Reclaim New York, talking regarding some troubling numbers coming in. A new study finding New York 49th for the business tax climate. And you mentioned Suffolk, and this is what we talk about all the time, Doug, and the fact that companies, when they move out of here, they just kill the whole effect. You know, we talk about young people staying here with good jobs and everything else in trying to revive a very tough fiscal situation here in this county. But nonetheless, when you have these numbers that have come through, it kind of makes you wonder, and it certainly makes more sense regarding why companies relocate, and this is why kids can't find jobs here, or good paying jobs. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. Look, this is why it's really, really hard for companies to survive. It's why it's hard for entrepreneurs to start things up. It's why you see things like Startup New York failing. These are the numbers that people should think of every time they hear the governor or an industrial development agency, their county executive, anybody talking about some tax break package that they're giving to a specific company or a narrow subset of companies. This is what they should think about, because the overall tax environment is sick. It's struggling. It makes it super difficult to survive. And these policies where we pick out one company and give them a little break from that tax burden, one, they're not working. Two, they're never going to work. And three, they're insulting and demoralizing to the existing business owners who are paying the full freight and the tax burden, who get a little bit more of that tax burden shifted onto their shoulders when a narrow subsection of companies or just one company gets that special tax break or handout because they're politically connected. That does endless damage. And then there are all these businesses that aren't being created that we can never see and never truly measure because this tax environment is so bad. There are potentially millions of opportunities being lost across the state.
No question. And this is why our lawmakers need to be more concerned. When you see companies moving from, let's say, Detroit to Dayton, then from Detroit to New Delhi, you know, that's kind of a concern. And all you have to do is research a little bit, and you look at a company like General Electric. Their decision, what was it, a couple of years ago to move their headquarters from Connecticut to Massachusetts? And you're talking about just as Connecticut increased corporate tax rates. So that just kind of says it right there. A large conglomerate like General Electric, and it just plays so much into a decision of this nature.
That's a great example. Look, Connecticut raised their corporate tax rate right around the time they were trying to keep General Electric. Connecticut is still better than New York in business tax climate on these rankings. So that should be very alarming that a company can go from New York and potentially get a better deal in Connecticut. And then you see it didn't work. General Electric still left. Now, of course, a large company like that can make other states compete against each other. But where did they go? They went to Massachusetts, which you would not think of as a particularly low tax, easy to operate in environment. But Massachusetts is 22nd. So they're in the top half of the entire country in terms of business tax climate, and they're a neighbor of New York. And you can see exactly when you look at these numbers why a company would start looking at Massachusetts to move to. And in fact, probably quite a few companies have left for Massachusetts. We certainly know a lot of folks have left for the Southern Tier, from the Southern Tier to Pennsylvania, because of the economic struggles there and New York's non-competitive tax environment. And so those neighbors are offering better deals for businesses. And look, it doesn't mean that every tax has to go to absolute zero. It just means we have to take some broad tax reform seriously. If lawmakers put half the effort or even a quarter of the effort they put into giving their politically allied companies these big tax breaks and spending billions of dollars on economic development programs that we've now seen are the least effective and most expensive in the country, if they spent a quarter of that effort on reforming taxes for everyone and making life easier for everyone, including businesses, this figure would be so much higher and so much better.
Doug Kellogg, Reclaim New York. And again, the Tax Foundation focusing on five now major taxes. That would be individual income, corporate property, and sales, as well as, I didn't know this, unemployment insurance too. They factor that in. And then what analysts do, I guess, is they plug in more than 100 variables about those taxes, weighted them, and then compared states to one another. And again, Jersey ranking 50th in the rankings. How about Wyoming? First place, followed by South Dakota and Alaska. Now, a lot of people wondering, what about Florida, which is far more similar, by the way, to New York than the top three as far as terms of taxes. They came in fourth there. So very interesting comparison there when you look at Florida, Doug.
Yeah, and Florida, the biggest state to be in the top five, and then you have Nevada at number five. Florida is always a rough example for New York, but it's a good place to learn a lesson. It's a state that has a much more competitive tax environment, and they have gained population, now having more folks there than New York. And, of course, we all know a lot of people personally probably who have gone to Florida for that very reason. So this is a larger statistical finding that I think most New Yorkers would easily agree with based on personal experience and the people they've seen go to Florida. And the state seems to be thriving, and they seem to be doing fine. They've managed to have the programs that New York has generally, and they're growing, they're dynamic, they're attracting business. And we don't even have to get to fourth to do a lot better. I think that New York is in a position where we've seen billions of taxpayers flee in the past decade or so. We're seeing population loss all across the state, except for a few counties and around New York City.
Yeah.
And that decline is in large part because of this type of figure, and really it's because of the failure of Albany to pursue broader reform, regulatory reform, that makes it easier for everyone to live here.
It's the failure of the governor. Even when he had a program in place to attract new businesses and all the money that was put into that with the advertising and everything else, though, you remember that, and a complete failure. Complete failure. Could not attract the businesses, lost a ton of money. And, you know, you have to wonder regarding decision-making up in Albany. You know, this whole thing with the Buffalo Billions Project, that was a complete disaster. I mean, think about it. It's a huge amount of money dumped into that area, and it came up with nothing. Nothing. Thus, the Billion Project, the Buffalo Billion Project, a complete disaster. And it's just part of the decision-making. You know, Buffalo, the governor pouring $1 billion into that economy, so virtually no increase in anything. And Rochester, by the way, the second largest upstate economy, has lost jobs over the past year and a half here. And, you know, this Buffalo Billion deal, part of the blame for this major problem overall.
Yeah, look, the Buffalo Billion, the Central New York Film Hub, Startup New York, all of these programs, there are probably some of them that our listeners have never even heard of, and these special tax deals that they do every now and then to try to keep a company here who is threatening to move. We see announcement after announcement like that. The Buffalo Billions bill has not come through. There's an empty $750 million factory sitting there. Why does that matter to Long Islanders? Because that factory is paid for with your tax dollars with a bunch of promises about how it's going to create hundreds of jobs. We're still waiting to see if that's ever going to happen. We have a film hub that costs taxpayers $15 million outside Central New York that was just written about. It's basically a scam. As far as we can tell, they promised they're going to make all these movies up there, and they haven't made any movies. There may be a couple made by one guy. The thing is entirely empty. And then you have corruption convictions surrounding the nonprofit arm of the state that was involved in that project and the contractor that owns the place. It is an absolute disaster. I mean, these are the types of stories we're seeing that are coming as coming out as results of this approach to economic development that you're referencing that the governor has pursued.
Yep.
And it's absolutely the wrong approach. But look, we can't pretend that Albany lawmakers and the governor are this dumb that they actually think that those programs were really going to work and that they're going to continue to work now when they do more things like that. They're doing it because they want to be able to dish out money and favors and control the process and have their press conferences and try to take credit for things. It's all a charade. And at this point, it's up to New Yorkers to say, look, we know that you know this isn't going to work. We're going to demand a new approach to economic development. We're not going to spend nearly $10 billion a year on stuff that doesn't work while government could be actually repairing infrastructure and giving us a tax break. We need to see that approach, and we need to see citizens demand it. There have been enough scandals and enough failures at this point to demand that, but absolutely, that is where government has been distracted and focused on the wrong approach when trying to fix the business issues we have here and the economic issues we have.
Now, listen, the numbers don't lie. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York crunching the numbers. I was looking at them last night, knowing our discussion this morning, and, you know, it's just crippling what has happened regarding upstate, where so many dollars were poured in there. And, you know, you really got to think this report maybe giving new life, Doug Kellogg, to the effort to hold this governor accountable. And the big question is whether anyone can do so in the gubernatorial campaign come 2018. It'll be very interesting as far as next year, what that could yield and how accountable Andrew Cuomo will be to his constituency?
I think we will be best off the better informed New Yorkers are. And I think that they're really on top of this at this point. They just need some more information on how bad these economic development programs have been. That has been the governor's signature move to try to fix the economy. Obviously, he'll go out in December again and have this game show presentation where he gives out big economic development awards to the regional councils. Watch that. Pay attention. We will be working on these issues going forward for sure, and we will do our best to make sure you know about how ridiculous a failure these programs are. And if New Yorkers know that, then whatever's going on politically, they can hold the governor accountable and make sure that he can't escape with these press conferences and promises and lies that you see about the success of upstate and Buffalo and this ridiculous sales pitch you get on how these things are working when they're so obviously not. And not only are they not working, we're seeing corruption scandals that erupt around them. There's nothing to be proud of there, and that needs to be fixed. And the more New Yorkers know, the more likely it is to happen.
You better get it done, I got to tell you. And I tell you one thing, all the money on this infrastructure with the with the bridges and everything, the LaGuardia, the Gateway program, all of these dollars being spent, they better pan out. I got to tell you, they better pan out. Otherwise, there is going to be a major uprising here as far as accomplishments and whatnot here. But if they don't pan out, Doug, that could be an ultimate disaster.
Well, that gets into another issue where we have such high construction costs on these types of projects. It's actually something a couple of city council members were talking about with relation to the MTA, which obviously is doing has a role in a lot of these mass transit infrastructure expansions. We need to get to the bottom of why it costs so much on all of these projects and try to get those costs down so we aren't gambling so much money on the project. You see the Tappan Zee Bridge coming through. No doubt if you spend $4 billion, you'll get a bridge. So we may get some of these infrastructure items, but they're going to come at a high cost. And then the question is, how much will New Yorkers have to pay to support them? The cost on that massive project, which might have been about the first one that got done here, is getting spread across the thruway potentially, or Hudson Valley and Westchester residents will have to pay a lot more. So when you look at those infrastructure projects, New Yorkers will have to be ready to pay more and continue to finance state debt, which is over $60 billion, and the authority debt is even higher. So there's a lot of financial questions that come with that. But absolutely, there are many projects to watch there and make sure that all the jobs promises and costs actually come true. And usually those costs get overrun.
I tell you, very troubling times, not only for the state, locally here, Nassau's budget, $60 million in extra fees. We took a look at Suffolk's budget the other day. It's very troubling stuff as far as fees on top of fees. And you put everything together in this salad bowl. Does not look like a pretty picture as far as the future of this state, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, the fee issue in these county budgets or something, again, with the budget decisions coming at the end of the month and early in November for Suffolk County, Long Islanders really have to be paying attention there. These budgets are built too much on fees that are unauthorized taxes, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Fees are only supposed to raise enough money to pay for their service. And in Suffolk and Nassau, we have this epidemic of using fees to grab revenue, which is not legal under state law. So there's a question there that needs to be raised. But additionally, these budgets continue to rise. We see more warnings about Suffolk's budget, even though they aren't raising new fees this year. And then Nassau is
it's camouflaged,
where they keep trying to raise the legal fees. They keep trying to raise the parking fee, the traffic fee, which is an absolute outrageous fee, where even if they end up finding out you didn't commit the infraction in court, you can still pay the administrative fee. So that is literally highway robbery. And they're continuing to find ways to nickel and dime folks and grab money because they don't want to answer the hard budget questions and start to look at how to get that spending under control. We just saw the Newsday story about how many friends and family members are on payroll in Nassau. I mean, they're going to protect
Nepotism is out of control. Absolutely. Listen, and they wonder why people are leaving Long Island, huh? Incredible. Doug Kellogg, Reclaim New York. Remember, their initiative, reminding politicians, they work for you right now. Just go to the site, reclaimnynow.org. Douglas Kellogg, always a pleasure, sir.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Jay. Great to be with you.
You got it.